He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points. And today on the show, we will be talking about LeBron. LeBron posted a video of him working out. He's sent out a couple other Instagram reels or Instagram posts and tweets and stuff about, getting back in the gym. And it's made me wonder a little bit about, again, the way that we've talked about him and the Lakers all summer. So we'll talk about that. We'll also, I also noticed in that video that I'll play it for you guys too, in case you've missed it. But I also noticed in that video that LeBron looked a little slimmer. So I have some theories and some thoughts on that potentially. But more importantly than anything, I asked for questions over the weekend for the mailbag in Sunday's episode, and got a ton of them. And I had so many left over that I feel bad for people who leave those questions and then don't get them answered. So I wanted to go back in to that tweet, find some of the questions that can still be answered now, and I will answer as many of those as well as whatever questions you guys ask over the course of this show. I'll try to get to as many of those as well. And, we'll go ahead and enjoy this nice, quiet, what is it, Tuesday evening, and go ahead and kill an hour of time. What could possibly go wrong? Also hoping that we get some trade stuff in the MLB or for the Dodgers, because their bullpen desperately needs it. But different sport. Let's dive in. A quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your podcast. If you guys are listening to this in the morning, if you're watching right now, please hit that subscribe button here on YouTube, and then hit that like button as well. Those buttons help us quite a bit. If you guys are on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge to subscribe to the show there. The plan, again, as we approach the season, I want to do two things. So one, I'm going to be more active on playback this year. Work out something with them and you guys so that maybe I can watch games with you there. And then two, I want to stop broadcasting to X or Twitter or wherever. Look, if they ever figure out a way to monetize that platform and streaming on that platform, then maybe I'll revisit it. But it just doesn't make much sense to send or to have people watch on a platform that doesn't really benefit us here. So hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, hit all the nice buttons, and let's go ahead and get started. So LeBron has posted, 4 a.m., getting in the gym type of posts, and he's talked about, all about how excited he is to get going here. And we know all of the noise that has surrounded him and the Lakers all offseason. Here is the video that went a little viral the other day. I won't play all of it, but here's a good chunk of it. And I want to play enough of it so that maybe you guys get a look at what I'm noticing as well.
23. Hey! One more, Chris. You're 23. Up, 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 up. Hey! TTPB. Right here. There you go.
I'm here.
Coming one. Yeah. There it is, Corey.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Straight line in. Good. Yep. 3, 2, 1. Hey. Good, watch it. Go ahead, switch that. There you go. Good hit.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Huh. Set that up, 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 watch screen. Screen, switch. Up. Got him. Come on. Huh. Undercourt. He got him, right? Hang out. Two. Shot. Switch. Good. Boom. There you go, B. Good pickup. There it is. Corey, switch, 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 play. There you go. Good footwork. Good, B. Good switch.
All right. So, want to see if you guys noticed a couple of the same things that I was kind of noticing there. One, good Lord, man. Like, I'm a few years younger than LeBron, and it's like, man, this dude. But we'll talk about like the, because I think he looks slimmer there. And now some people are saying on Twitter that he always trims down in the summer and then bulks back up as you get closer to the season. And I could believe some of that, but we'll talk about, you know, Weight Watch, you know, 2025 here in a second. But I talked the other night about the industry of news and how the media and I'm a part of it, how the media has a vested interest in making things as dramatic as possible because you need eyeballs. And now I will say that, and I have reported that there has been some frustration over the years between LeBron and the Lakers, that I think goes both ways there. But I think is it possible that it has been a little overblown? You know, the example that I used the other day was that in an article that I wrote about how I think LeBron isn't going anywhere and that I actually still think he's going to retire with the Lakers. Even in that article, there was the detail there about LeBron being frustrated with the Lakers over the years. And that was the thing that blew up my mentions for basically a whole week. And again, it just comes down to, with a lot of these shows, it's no longer news, it's entertainment. And in sports journalism as well, it's not necessarily journalism, it's entertainment. And I had this conversation with a source, you know, a little while back, in one of those nights where my mentions are just a complete tire fire. And I was just talking to him about, like, is this even worth it? Is reporting on these rumors even worth it? If it means that, you know, for an entire summer, I can't even look at my mentions, or for like a full month, I would say I can't even look at my mentions. And you know, I was like, also it's like, I could just report any old thing and, it's going to get aggregated. And if it does get aggregated, then is that the point of it? And, you know, cause even when I get things right, the same people who were saying, oh, well, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that, they don't notice, or they excuse away the times where I get stuff right. And it just, this entire industry can be kind of a mind bleep sometimes. And the reason I say all of this is because with LeBron, it might just be that he can be frustrated, but he also can be aware of the fact that he doesn't have any other options, and he doesn't want to end his career with a season where he spends the whole time subtweeting his current team and he just ends it on a sour note. I think there's a real opportunity here for him and the Lakers, especially with Luka looking the way that he is too. There's a real opportunity here for LeBron to end his Lakers tenure or his NBA career on a high note, whether it's this year or next year, by the way. Because I Mark is incredibly well plugged in. He's a fellow Cal State Fullerton alum. I got to spend some time with him in Vegas as well. I really like Mark. He's been a great mentor to me and to Harrison over the years. I have nothing but respect for Mark. So if he says that he feels like LeBron won't finish out his career with the Lakers, then it's worth paying attention to it. I feel differently, but that doesn't mean that he and, you know, Mark and I are in some kind of blood feud. It's nothing like that. I just have sources who have told me one thing. He has sources that have told him another. He's reading the tea leaves one way, I'm reading the tea leaves another. And look, if LeBron doesn't finish his career in a Lakers uniform, then okay. You know, but when you look at his options, he's not going to just play on the minimum for Cleveland. And there's no way for them to open up the type of cap space that they would have to so that LeBron can sign there next summer and make the amount of money that he expects to make while he maintains a high level of play. There just aren't very many teams that have, like, he doesn't, I don't believe, want to play with the Clippers. I think that would kind of tarnish his legacy to go play with the B team for a season at the end of it. I think he would like to finish with having only played for three teams over the course of his career. So that eliminates a bunch of other teams. Maybe you could see a Miami departure or a return, sorry. But his departure from Miami was kind of ugly. And Pat Riley feels a certain way about the way that LeBron left. Is everybody moved past that? They might have. It's altogether possible. But you look at all these situations and you have a Lakers team next year or a Lakers organization that is going to have cap space next year so long as they continue to operate the way that they are. They're going to have Luka Doncic entering the absolute peak of his powers in the next few years, which is kind of terrifying because he's already been pretty damn good to this point. You have they're going to have the assets that LeBron would want them to turn into another really, really good player. So, you know, my point is that he, even given his frustrations over the course of the last few years, maybe some of the frustrations that he's had over the course of the summer, he could still collect himself, get back to just playing basketball and look at the opportunity in front of him and say, this could be worse. He loves Los Angeles. He loves being close to his family. We just saw how emotional Chris Paul got about going back to the Clippers, in part because he gets to be closer to his family. Like, it could be, it might be that he was genuinely angry and wanted out and all of that stuff. I'm not saying that isn't possible, but it might also be that he has gotten over it, or that maybe people made a little bit too much of what might have just been a raised level of frustration. So, I'm pretty happy to see how publicly LeBron is getting back to work and how amped he seems to be, now that he is getting back to work. And maybe he's letting some of those teams, because the other thing too is when LeBron kind of soft launched that trade request, if we're going to read that statement in that way, when he soft launched that trade request, there weren't exactly teams, bending over backwards or flipping over tables to make whatever room or be as flexible as they needed to be to trade for LeBron James. And that had to be kind of weird for LeBron and his camp. So I don't know. He may have soft launched a trade request. He may have laid the groundwork for eventually leaving. But the Lakers, all they did was sign a starting center, or the best starting center that they could have possibly added to their roster, with realistically speaking. They went out and got a former defensive player of the year in free agency. They are doing everything in their power to make sure that Bronny develops and grows at a decent rate, and maybe has a role in this rotation here this season as well. The Lakers have, I think, acquitted themselves quite well this offseason, given some of the limitations they have placed on potential movement. And I don't know, man. I like this team. I like this roster. I especially like it with the way that Luka has worked on himself. I especially like it potentially with the stuff that we'll talk about here in a second with LeBron. This is LeBron's best opportunity at winning a championship this season. It's not in Dallas after they have to trade away everything that they would have to trade away to get him. Again, he doesn't want to play on a minimum contract, so there is no better situation that would involve that. that would honestly, that would make people look at him a certain way. And by the way, like if he was going to take that kind of a discount, he could have just taken that discount here with the Lakers and made and given them even more opportunity to improve their team, right? They could have kept Dorian. They could have done all those things, but he does care about making the correct amount of money that he should be paid for, not just what he brings to a basketball team as a basketball player, but what he brings to a city by way of being the superstar that is LeBron James. So all of this is to say, I think he's pretty excited to get back to work. And if he's excited to get back to work, and if he enters training camp, or if they do one of those little mini camps or whatever, if he enters training camp and he looks around at this roster, or if he's pleasantly surprised at the beginning of the season, I don't know. I really like I like this group, and I like this group even more when you consider the assets that they have to make the team better should that opportunity present itself. And I think LeBron, if I can see that, LeBron's smarter as a basketball player than I am. I would imagine he can too. Now, the other thing too, you watch that video. I'll just play another little snippet of it again.
23. Hey! One more, Chris. You're 23. Up. Ah! TTPB.
So he looks great, you know, by any standard. But he also, and look, Erad, I swear to God, some of you LeBron stans, like, you look for people to be saying the thing that you want them to be saying. Did I say that he demanded a trade? What the fuck are you talking about? Yes, he was frustrated. That was like exactly what I said, what I reported. He's been frustrated that Rob has basically wasted this extended prime that he's had. Why are you whining in my chat? But anyway, the God, man, there's a tweet out there somewhere that was like, if somebody says something as benign as like, I like good food, that there's somebody out there who's going to be like, oh, well, look at you. Look at you being able to brag about your ability to eat good food. Like, can we just not assume the worst in everybody? Can we just try that for a little bit? Give it a go. See how it goes. If you just don't live your life looking for every potential slight, give it a try. I promise you're going to be so much better off and happier if you just don't look for me. All I've been saying, and this is what's stupid about it too, is I agree with LeBron. I also wish Rob would have been better at his job the last few years while he had LeBron James, while he had Anthony Davis. I agree. And yet somehow LeBron stands are angry at me for reporting that he's upset with the late. Like, everybody was just upset over the summer. It's like, just chill. Chill. You're okay. I'm not out to get your king. I swear. Good Lord. All right. Let me get back to it. So it seems to me LeBron looks a little slimmer in that video. And I mean by, you know, even by the standards of what I've seen from him in off seasons while he's been a Laker. And this year, just based on the makeup of this roster, the Lakers would probably really benefit from LeBron slimming down a little, improving his foot speed, and being a better perimeter defender. And I think last year, when they didn't have a center, they needed LeBron to be a little bit bulkier so that he could play that small ball center role. But this year, you have DeAndre Ayton. I'm not going to go so far as to say that they expect to get somebody like Vucevic or anything like that. But if you have DeAndre Ayton, Jackson Hayes is a little better slotted as a backup center. Maybe just maybe Maxi Kleba isn't washed. You have options at center. You have Christian Coloco still on a two-way. the Lakers may not need LeBron to spend as much time at center, which would allow him to trim down a little bit. Also, we saw this a little with Kobe later in his career as well, where, you know, you get a little lighter and you put a little bit less weight on those joints. And look, man, I remember at my biggest, I got up to like 240 and I could feel it. Like, I could feel that I was tired all the time because I was, you know, my joints were just shut up, Callie. I could feel myself, you know, just carrying that extra weight. And I remember, I have a few personal trainer friends, and they just told me, just carry a backpack with a 25-pound dumbbell, just carry it around, walk around with it for a little bit, and then take that backpack off and just feel how much better you feel. And that's literally what happened. You know, I stopped drinking beer. I stopped drinking hard alcohol. I tried to, you know, I really limit the amount of fast food that I eat, a lot more salads, a lot more working out, you know, I went from 240 and, now I'm staying pretty steadily at like 205 to 215 in that range there. I would love at some point to dip below 2 again, but we'll see. But I saw, you know, I saw the difference between, you know, the 35 pounds that I lost, and my knees felt a lot better. My back feels a lot better. I'm like 5'10", 5'11", Kevin. My knees feel a lot better. And I just have a lot more energy. And, again, like Kobe went, had a concerted effort in trying to slim down toward the end of his career, again, because your joints just can't carry the same weight, he used to. And I think it might be, you might be seeing it again here with LeBron, where he's like, yeah, I mean, I'll put the extra weight on if you need it. I'm going up against centers, but you know, if I could play a little lighter and I could play a little bit more explosively, maybe that makes some sense too. I also noticed in that video, a lot of threes that he's getting up there and a lot of catch and shoot threes there towards the tail end of the show. That's something that he needed to get a lot more comfortable with, playing alongside Luka. And look, it's a minute and a half long video, and I guarantee you he spent a lot of time in the gym this summer working on all kinds of stuff. But if he's slimming down, might make him a better perimeter defender. He's working on catch and shoot threes. That would make him a better fit with Luka. Hold on. I'm just... I just think there's a lot that, again, if we really, really want to read between the lines of a minute and a half long video, I think you're seeing LeBron kind of tailor his workout and his offseason regimen to what makes the most sense to play with Luka. And here's something that I've reported over the course of the summer. I thought it was going to get aggregated, but it didn't for whatever reason. I had heard early in the summer that LeBron and Luka had already been talking about ways that they can fit better, things that they can do strategically to, you know, get at some of the meat that they left on the bone last year. I'd heard that the guys are talking about, you know, what they can do to fit better alongside each other. And if that's your starting point, and again, it just depends on your perspective here, right? If you want to lean into the drama, if you're incentivized even to lean into the drama, you're going to ignore that, as many did. If you want to believe that LeBron is still invested in this Lakers organization, then you would. I'm surprised that wasn't a bigger deal when I said that. I'll reiterate it again. But LeBron and Luka, I had heard, were talking already earlier in the summer, and they've maintained communication, you know, to at least a certain extent over the course of the summer. And if your starting point is they talked about what they need to do to work a little bit better next year, and then over the course of the summer, you see them do some stuff, right? Luka getting in better shape. Maybe he becomes a better perimeter defender as well. Maybe they want to be a more switchable team next year. That's something JJ would want them to lead into. If you do all of that stuff, or if you take, you know, starting point there, and then they improve in ways that can help them fit better together over the course of the summer, and then you see the results of that work now, it might just be that these guys are really excited to play, you know, next to each other, and that they want to maximize this opportunity that they have, because I think it's a really good opportunity. So, it's a minute and a half long video, and we're probably going to get a bunch more videos over the course of the summer. But there are practical applications or benefits of LeBron slimming down a little bit, or of him working on his catch and shoot threes. Those are, if we're going to ride with those practical advantages, then I think this is a very positive development for those of you who want LeBron and Luka to optimize their opportunity together. That's a good video for you to watch. All right. It's enough of me ranting and raving and stuff like that. Let's go ahead and dive on in. So I asked a question on Sunday. It's Sunday. Hit me with your questions. And seeing as it's late July, feel free to get a little weird. Let's have some fun with it. See y'all in a little bit. And I got 20-something responses to it. I'm just going to make sure I don't have, I don't have any supers. So I'll go ahead and jump in here. I did answer a few of them. So, I'll try not to have too much, overlap between the two shows, but here's, all right. So Chips Dude @ChipsDude17, either based on your knowledge or based on your gut, does LeBron ask for a trade at any point in the offseason or the regular season, or does he let the contract run out? The best of my knowledge of that situation, LeBron at no point approached the Lakers and asked for a trade this summer. And if he was going to do that, you would do that at the beginning of the summer so that you get as many responses from teams as you can possibly get. I don't believe he's going to ask for a trade. I don't believe he's going to ask for a buyout from here till the end of the season. And then there's even less incentive. There's even less reason for him to do that when the season starts, because any team that's in an apron, whether that's first or second, any team above an apron wouldn't be able to sign LeBron, which those are the good teams out there. So I don't believe LeBron is going to ask for a buyout. I don't believe he's going to ask for a trade. I do believe he'll take a good hard look at his situation after this season, but I wouldn't be surprised. I would put it at like a 60-40 chance that LeBron re-ups after this season and retires a Laker either after that following year or the one after it. The big thing that with the Lakers is that I don't believe they were comfortable giving him another no trade clause or a team option. They wanted a little bit more power over the relationship with them and LeBron. I was surprised at the Lakers playing hardball with LeBron. They have not operated like that with superstars in the past, and that was certainly interesting to me. But even still, and look, like all of that frustration, the subtweets, all of that stuff, if they were subtweets, all of that might have just been a response to LeBron having hardball played with him for the first time in his career. That's never happened before. So based on my knowledge or my gut, I'll say both. I don't believe LeBron's going to ask for a trade this season. I just don't really see it. Here's what I'll say. Things would have to go really poorly. Ayton comes in out of shape. Luka's, you know, gets hurt or something like that. And if the Lakers appear to have no chance whatsoever at winning a championship, then maybe LeBron goes to the Lakers and says, guys, what can we do here? But I, you know, outside of that, I just don't see him asking for a trade. Next question here comes from, oh, this is a good question. So Craig, it's Matos or Matos. Am I right to still be pessimistic about this team until the pair of Genie and Rob are out of their respective roles, or at least the latter, meaning Rob? So, yeah, I mean, like, nothing has changed in terms of the way that the Lakers are operating right now. They are quite literally still owned by the Buss family. They are still the majority owners. The sale has not gone through yet. So yeah, like if you don't have the best feeling about the way that those entities run the team, and those entities still run the team, then I don't see anything that has changed that would change your outlook on that. That said, I believe in Sunday's show about Rob operating under observation, closer observation. Genie, Linda, Kurt, Tim, the Buss brothers, everybody there is operating under observation from Guggenheim whenever that sale goes through. And that can either bring out the best in people or it could bring out the worst in people. Either way, it's going to bring about some change. The other thing is, you know, I would like to see, like, I don't think Raw, I think there are good parts of this organization that if they were further supplemented by modern facets of these other organizations you see out there, that they could be great, or you could see mediocre factions of this organization become good factions of the organization. It would be nice for the Lakers, like whenever Guggenheim takes over or as they, you know, transition into power, one of the things that I'm going to be looking for is solidifying an actual org chart and decision-making chart as far as whose input actually matters and whose input is, you know, gets taken into account. You know, to this point, it's been kind of scatterbrained and very kind of clicky with the Lakers, and I would like to move away from that. I just think it's a very difficult way to make decisions. I think it's an easy way for you to not trust the decisions you actually make, so you just wind up not making decisions. And I think the Lakers have fallen victim to that over the years. So if you supplement in some spots, if you replace in some spots, all of that stuff, that'll take, I think, more time than we would maybe like. But if you're going into this entire thing and your top priority here is get rid of Genie, get rid of Rob, that just doesn't appear to be how this is going to go, at least not right away. And we'll see how well everybody handles being up under closer observation, and how they handle being supplemented with some of these modern tools that other organizations have taken advantage of while the Lakers have been kind of left behind. Let's go to the next question here. At Bashir_1, from a basketball sense, aren't Zion and Luka the perfect pairing? Don't replicate each other's skill set, and for what one star lacks, the other compensates. They're both Duffy clients as well. I want absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with Zion Williamson. I just think he is incredibly immature. He has made a ton of money despite being hugely disappointing for the New Orleans Pelicans. if you're just talking 2K and I can turn injuries off and I, you know, Zion's immaturity doesn't matter, then okay. Like, if you're building a 2K team, I can see what you're kind of talking about there. But that dude does not get it. And until he does, I want nothing to do with him. You want to know why the Pelicans, I joked with Jason Timpf the other day about their team facilities being built on some type of burial ground, and that's why they're cursed. No, they're cursed because the centerpiece of their organization, Zion Williamson, doesn't get it. And until he does, and until he starts taking basketball more seriously, becomes a better professional, they're going to be stuck in neutral. And it's already cost David Griffin his job, and it's going to cost more people their jobs until they finally cut bait, or until he eventually gets it, because he just doesn't right now.